That was an excellent devotional, wasn't it, on the truth? You know, the Webster's dictionary that I have at home says the truth is agreement with the standard. And we have the standard, don't we? That's the hard part, is convincing people that this is the standard. Tonight, turn to Leviticus chapter 21. As a matter of fact, chapters 21, 22 are pretty much covering the same area, and we'll try to get into chapter 23 also. Now, let's go ahead and read in chapter 21 of Leviticus, the first 15 verses. We're going to see, I think, two main or key words here, and they are the word priest and the word holy. And I know that may seem a little repetitious. I kind of thought that, but, you know, I thought, well, if God puts it in there, the repetition must be beneficial. So let's read the first 15 verses there. When the Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the priests, the sons of Aaron, and say to them, 'No one shall make himself unclean for the dead among his people, except for his closest relatives, his mother, his father, his son, his daughter, his brother, or his virgin sister, who is near to him because she has had no husband. For her he may make himself unclean. He shall not make himself unclean as a husband among his people, and so profane himself. They shall not make bald patches on their heads, nor shave off the edges of their beards, nor make any cuts on their body. They shall be holy to their God and not profane the name of their God. For they offer the Lord's food offerings, the bread of their God, therefore they shall be holy. They shall not marry a prostitute or a woman who has been defiled, neither shall they marry a woman divorced from her husband, for the priest is holy to his God. You shall sanctify him, for he offers the bread of your God. He shall be holy to you, for I, the Lord, who sanctify you, am holy. And the daughter of any priest, if she profanes herself by whoring, profanes her father, she shall be burned with fire. The priest who is chief among his brothers, on whose head the anointing oil is poured, and who has been consecrated to wear the garments, shall not let the hair of his head hang loose, nor tear his clothes. He shall not go in to any dead bodies, nor make himself unclean, even for his father or for his mother. He shall not go out of the sanctuary, lest he profane the sanctuary of his God, for the consecration of the anointing oil of his God is on him. I am the Lord. And he shall take a wife in her virginity, a widow or a divorced woman or a woman who has been defiled or a prostitute. These he shall not marry, but he shall take as his wife a virgin of his own people, that he may not profane his offspring among his people. For I am the Lord who sanctifies him." Now, God's law through Moses to the people of Israel could function properly only through a priesthood. And the way to God has always been through a priesthood, still today. The Levitical priest offered animal sacrifices, as we've seen, for the people in these priests were the overseers of the tabernacle, the tent of meeting. They kept this for God and Israel, and through all this, Israel was reminded that God is real and God is holy. He forgives and he has the right to be worshiped. As we talked about before, the Old Testament Levitical priesthood is well worth studying as we as New Testament Christians, priests, you know, we realize from Scripture in the New Testament, like Revelation 21, 6, and 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 and 9, that we are God's priests and we are also to be holy. Of course, we see that all throughout Leviticus and also in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. Now, when we see there at the beginning of what was read about being defiled, about being unclean around the dead, and there was the exception of the close family, but then when you get over to verse 11, it says there, not to make himself unclean, even for his father or for his mother. There, you, Mark qualified the difference. There's no contradiction. That's the high priest, as it said in this translation here, the chief among the priests. So there is no contradiction there. The priests are the sons of Aaron, and of course Aaron is the high priest. Now, there are two other words, as I see here in chapter 21 and 22, that are used that would be synonyms of holy. And that would be sanctified and consecrated. I think the King James, instead of consecrated, says crowned. If any of you has, let's see, what verse would that be? Verse 12 there. Mine says the consecration of the anointing oil of God. Crown, okay. So all those would be synonyms of holy. You know, we think of sanctified as meaning set apart. We think of consecrated or crowned as sacred, but all those are definitions of being holy. Now, I want to reread verse 6 there. They shall be holy to their God and not profane the name of their God. Now, the way I see that, this is saying that to be anything less than holy is to profane God's name. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? We need to keep that principle, that same principle in mind today. Old Testament priests, Old Testament priests had many restrictions and many responsibilities, didn't they? As we can see. What about New Testament priests? Do we as New Testament priests have restrictions and responsibilities? If you would, turn to the New Testament book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. And I want to read quite a few verses here to give us an idea of what I think we need to see along the lines of the restrictions and responsibilities. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a glorious, a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if when you sin and you are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul. We could go through the rest of 1 Peter, really, to see these many restrictions and responsibilities. But the main thing is, being holy has always been about what God's people do to be set apart. Not as the religious world today would tell us that there's nothing you can do to be a Christian. They would say, you know, it's about what God does to you, not what you do for God. The holiness of God, God's New Testament priests, comes from an obedient spirit, doesn't it? It's an obedient attitude. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 to 14 says, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ as obedient children. Do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. Obedience to God comes as we respect him, doesn't it? But, yes, Bobby.
In that thought, too, you know, I think we all, as you said, it's a state of mind that we're expected to do these things that are completely unto God. But we are not to do them in a manner that we are seeking to be
Yes, that's exactly what part of what we read there. But what motivates us? What ultimately, what motivates us to have that attitude? That would be one. What about a genuine love for God? I mean, 1 John 5:3 says, "This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments." So that should give us an obedient spirit, right? That should give us that attitude that Bobby was referring to. The Apostle Peter said, "Be holy in all manner of your conduct." In 1 Peter 1, verse 15. God's priests under the Levitical system were set apart people. They had a very important function for that form of worship, didn't they? And it was a service to God that they wanted to do. Now, when we contrast Leviticus in the Old Testament with the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, we see that Hebrews was written to urge Christians to be faithful to who? To Christ, to the Lord Jesus. He's greater than the angels in Hebrews chapter 1. He's a greater lawgiver than Moses, Hebrews chapter 3. He's a greater provider of rest than Joshua, Hebrews chapter 4. A greater high priest than Aaron, and that would be all the way from chapter 4 of Hebrews to chapter 10. Under the Levitical priesthood, only one person was permitted to go into the holy place, right? That was the high priest. That was Aaron in the case that we're studying here. And he could only go in one day out of the year. That was the Day of Atonement that we studied about, I think it was last week in Leviticus chapter 16. Under the New Testament, all priests, Christians, are allowed to enter into the presence of God. Each one of us, as Christians, are allowed that. We're even encouraged to draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace in the time of need. Hebrews chapter 4. Now, as we've talked about before, the Levitical priest offered animals and meal sacrifices. And under the New Testament, priests, again, Christians, are to offer what? Themselves as living sacrifices. Offer their bodies as living sacrifices, as Mark pointed out, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The Christian body ceases to be an instrument of sin and becomes an instrument of what? Righteousness. We know that from Romans chapter 6. The Christian priest belongs to the Lord, body and soul, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. A key part of the life of New Testament priests is true worship to God. We find in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, it says, "Through Christ, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge His name. Not a worship based on emotion, but one based on devotion. If the body is set apart to God, then the lips won't be used for profanity, vulgarity, gossip, slander, so on. They will be used in the teaching and the preaching of God's word. Words of comfort and exhortation and edification. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. God's priests were not to defile themselves and were to exercise great care not to profane the sacred things of God. What are we as Christian priests to learn from all this? You know, hopefully we can learn lessons like Brother Jerry taught this past Sunday morning in Mark chapter 7, verses 18 and to 23. In that chapter, we saw that understanding God's view of being defiled is the only view that matters. As Jerry pointed out from those verses, Jesus said, "Then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled? What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness." It said, all these evil things come from within, and they are what defile a person. Understanding the difference between the physical of the Old Testament and the spiritual of the New Testament allows for God's tradition and not the tradition of men, as we studied Sunday morning in Mark chapter 7. Now, we've read previously in Hebrews chapter 9, especially in verses 8 through 14, some about just how Christ was the better sacrifice and all that. And we've studied here about being undefiled. Are New Testament priests to be undefiled? What does it say in James chapter 1, verse 27? Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. The Levitical priest couldn't serve God in that particular capacity with a physical blemish. We see that in chapter 21, in verses 18 through 21, which we don't have time to read, but think about this. Under the new covenant, God put his law in the mind, and he's written it upon the heart of his people, and he wants his priest to be without spot or wrinkle, holy, without blemish. That's in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27. That is in the spiritual sense. And God has every right to expect his priest to be holy, and by his definition of what holy is. Now, our time's up. We will cover this a little further and at least get into chapter 23 the next time. Does anyone have anything to add before we have a prayer? Let's pray together. The most righteous Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this time we've had to study from your word and to know just that we can know what your truth is and what really matters and what is important as we try to better do your will. We thank you so much, Father, for all the many prayers that you've answered on each of our behalves, especially for Sister Jessica and others that are struggling and having troubles with life's issues and with medical problems. We ask that you continue to be with those and continue to be with us in our walk through this life. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.